Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so I got word. I want somebody to make sure that this is true. That they're filming, or at least they started filming, Bad Boys 3 here yesterday. Which means Will Smith and Martin are in town. Now, if this is true, we need your help because we'd love to get them on the show. I don't know how long they're going to be in town filming this. Probably, and I don't know, you know, who knows what this Bad Boys 3 is going to be. It might take them all over the world to film. But they started filming yesterday. And so I got word of that, and I was like, really? And then I saw an Instagram post by Will Smith, who I think it was a couple of days ago, where him and Martin took a picture and said, we start filming tomorrow. I didn't know it was going to be here in Atlanta. So we talked about this as we did the crossover day with John Michaels today. And Rick was out, but, you know, Chuckery was in. And we were talking about the fact that do you get excited, you know, for the idea of, you know, these part twos or threes of iconic movies. Now, they've done a Bad Boys 1 and 2. One was great. Two was okay. I thought it wasn't as good as one. But everybody, yes, now this is three. They did Bad Boys 3. This is 3.
No, Miami Vice. Remember you saw it. It was the third one.
Yeah, right. So they're doing 3. And I'm excited to see what it is because this one took, like all these movies, it's taken forever to get everybody back on board and say, all right, yeah, I got time or I want to do it or whatever the situation is.
You know, they saw that, you know, that the second one was okay and then they didn't really have a script. And now somebody said, all right, let's do the money grab because that's what Hollywood does. But, I mean, I'm always a little bit, you know, looking at Hollywood, a little cross-eyed because I don't really see the creativity as much. They're just gonna, look, they know it's a cash cow. People are gonna jump on it. So let's hope it's good. Let's hope it's quality because you know you're right, man. Sometimes when they have these long pauses, you're like, I mean, you and I love Blade Runner, but I think you and I were the only ones on the Blade Runner 2049, the one that most people said it's too long. Oh, shut up. You know what? I paid $10. I want to get my money's worth. Craig piped out over there.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, but you're right. But sometimes it's forever.
Yeah, I mean, you want to, you know, it's sort of not stream of consciousness, but at least in your collective consciousness and for moviegoers, you remember what's going on. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, it's going to be Top Gun. I've got to have a female pilot, and she'll be the same character that Tom Cruise was young, and now he'll be Viper, and he'll be Tom Skerritt.
Okay.
And they'll be your movie.
Okay.
You know, and that's, I mean, we could handicap that one from a mile away.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes, but just to get those two back together, and I'm talking about Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, to play those characters, I'm on it. Either way, man, just got word. I know they're filming a lot of movies here. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time, and there's a lot of stuff going on around the A. But we were out at the Atlanta United training grounds, and somebody said, hey, you know, they had Peachtree closed yesterday, and some people were complaining. Right. And they were like, they were filming Bad Boys 3. Be quiet.
Well, we had a couple of things going. If they were doing that, too, because the governor, Boss Hogg, was getting his inauguration over at Georgia Tech over at McCamish. So that was kind of jammed up because I got caught in it trying to get up to the United yesterday. So a lot of stuff going on. But there's so many cool movies. We were here when they were doing the scenes for the Avengers. Remember 2 summers ago? It was nuts.
Turned over cars, all kind of stuff.
And the other day, because there's a staging area right here on Peachtree, just down from where STK is. So you always know when there's a movie. Today I was walking to work last week, and there were like half a dozen gypsy cabs from like New York City, circa 70s or 80s. So I mean, you always know when there's something being done downtown or midtown, because it's TV. Sometimes you see a big budget thing, and you just find out it's just a TV show. You know, it's just MacGyver.
Yeah,
you know, well, but it looks huge.
That one time, I don't think you were here. I think Randy Mack was in, and they were filming a TV show across the street. Mm-hmm. And Bo's like, "What are all those ambulances doing across the street?" We're like, "It's a TV show." And so Bo kind of lost his mind. Hey, man, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hi. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
You do remember that, don't you?
I remember it.
Hey, underdogs. All right, Mr. Vegas, are you taking the Patriots as an underdog on the road against the Chiefs?
I am, and I will. Yes, I am going to take them. I don't trust Andy Reid, although, boy, if that Kansas City defense brings it the way they did against the Colts, Maybe you feel differently about this one. I know I said it a dozen times yesterday, but the Rankins thing with the Saints, that's a big difference maker for what the Rams want to do. But Goff has been so pedestrian with his numbers. The last couple of games of the regular season, and then again, if you're running the ball effectively for 200 yards, you don't have to throw it. But do you trust Goff to pull it out in, not pull it out, I mean get the win, in the Superdome?
I was going to say that's a nice choice of words. To pull it out, maybe. But to win, yes, because I do think that you realize the Rams are not a team that needs him to throw for 350, and they have to rely on that. They relied on the run game, guys, against the Cowboys, one of the stout run defenses in the NFL last week. So I want you to hear Julian Edelman talking about the Patriots catching their second win, I guess is how you might phrase it.
You catch a second wind when you hit the playoffs, so with the adrenaline rushing that you know, you usually be pretty sore, but now you're already thinking about what you got to do to get ready for next week. So, feeling all right.
Yeah, Edelman went on to say, we don't take anybody lightly, son.
We don't underestimate any opponent, and that's how it is here. So, I can't speak for Tom, but I, you know, just being around him, hey, this is going to be the toughest game of the year, and we have to prepare for that because, I mean, we're the 2-seed, we're going on the road, and that's just how it's going to be.
They're going to really play this up. Nobody believes in us. We're the 2-seed. We're on the road. They're going to play this up all week.
They didn't like the fact that everybody thought they were over with, and they did talk about it. I mean, even Brady was talking about it. So I guess everybody thinks we suck. Brady's words, you know. They just kind of quietly went about their business in an uncompelling division. You and I touched on this last week. But they still have got pound for pound, even though McVay's getting all the love, the stuff that Josh McDaniels does and setting up opponents, the stuff that this is, if you guys remember what Shanahan was doing in 16, that's what makes him just, you know, that much better. And you see Hightower last week? He's flying around playing some of the best football he's played in a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree, man. The last time the Patriots were the dog, 2014, November 30th, 2014. They visited Lambeau Field. They were a 3-point underdog against the Packers. Patriots lost the game 26-21. Now, I think both of these games are going to be interesting. You know, it's rare we get the four best teams as the season plays out. Do you believe that? I think these are the four best teams.
Oh, I think most people agree with you on that one.
I mean, so
the Colts were the hottest, and they just fizzled.
Yes, they did.
You know?
And the Cowboys had a shot, too. I mean, but when you break down the season and the way we watch this NFL season, these are the four best teams. So I think they're going to be close and compelling. But if you're one of these folks who go, well, I can never bet against the GOAT, which is Tom Brady, then you're going to bet that the Patriots are going to pull it out. Hey, in other NFL news, Cam Jordan saying that we got to make the Rams one-dimensional. And I think this goes for both teams. I think if the Rams are going to beat the Saints, to your point about Goff pulling it out, this is what they have to do. They've got to make the Saints one-dimensional.
It's not like we haven't faced Todd Gurley. It's not like we, you know, this year we have not faced CJ. But we understand that it's going to be up to us to make them one-dimensional. I mean, at the end of the day, they've got Goff. They've got Brandon Cooks. Their wide receiver core has been nice, so we have to try and do what we can to make them a one-dimensional team.
Now, the thing is, and Bo Morgan brought this up yesterday on the show, is that, you know, we told you about how big it is to lose Sheldon Rankins, but then on the offensive line, you've got Pete with the broken hand, and he's got to take on some of those hombres, obviously, and Dominican Sue, depending on how they line up, Aaron Donald. So, you know, a guy in the interior of the line for the Saints has now got to, you know, not at 100% with two big dudes coming at him.
Yeah. This game, boy, I tell you what, up front, I can't wait to see how the Rams attack them with Rankins not being there. I would run right at him.
You think that Goff, I mean, you're going to call on Goff to make some plays, but I mean, it makes the play action so much more effective,
too. It does.
You know, I mean, Marcus Lattimore might have to have a monster game coming up and playing some run support, too, you know, in addition to the things he's doing in coverage. So, look, the Saints defense has been so strong, but they just look a little bit different than they did when they were really cooking. Everybody gets worn down over the course of the year, but man, I know here in Atlanta, we're a little jaded. We don't want to see the Saints. I'm kind of leaning towards the Rams. I got to be honest.
No, I am too. Listen, Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald. They did all of this without him having like a monster game last week against the Cowboys, but that's because Ndamukong Suh stepped up, and we said it.
Well, I'm loading up on some of these games. I'm going to be out there. You're going to give me some folding money for
Absolutely.
This? I mean, you feeling?
Absolutely.
Craig, you want to get on some of this, Craig?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I just can't wait to see what the Falcons' odds are for the Super Bowl. I'll get that. That'll be the best odds I can get, obviously, this week.
Oh, yeah. Because
for 2019-20.
Yeah, because they'll change with free agency and then, obviously, the draft. You're absolutely right. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Some would say that's a sucker bet, but it's one that you and I do every year.
No, it's fun.
We put our money where our mouth is.
It's fun. Your sponsorship could go right here. NFL Blitz brought to you by, just letting you know.
Right now we'll say it's brought to you by Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing. Shenanigans in every can, Carl. If you can't find Hey Man, tell your barkeep or your store manager to go get some from Georgia Crown.
Yeah, make sure you contact the brewery and they'll get the beer to you. It's our beer, by the way, if you're wondering. Hey, let's talk about Crazy Eyes. He has the eyes of a goat. Have you ever seen the eyes of a goat?
I've never been around a lot of goats.
Goats have crazy eyes, okay? Adam Gase has goat eyes. And I never realized this until yesterday. And I got up this morning and I saw that picture, that still of Gase sitting. What was he looking at and staring at yesterday on this press conference?
The video, it's just downright crazy. And everybody's posted the memes. You've seen the video that I put out there. You know, you've never seen the guy, other than wearing a baseball cap on the Dolphins sideline or when he was an assistant with the Broncos with a hat, he looks like a crazy person. Some people say he looks like he's taking too much cough syrup. Or perhaps there's a little more, I don't know, caffeine, or he took 17 Red Bulls. Either way, his eyes are bugging out of his head as he scans the room as he sits down.
Yeah, I have no answers for it. It made me laugh. It's become an internet sensation and certainly gone viral. Here's Adam Gase, the Jets' new head coach, talking about it starts with his quarterback.
I've been able to, especially in the last few days, really hammer out as much tape as I could on him and start looking at the things that I've seen him do really well, some of the things that we could possibly work on. Really, it's going to start with him. I mean, that's an obvious statement.
Now, have you seen some of the memes that have been put up there about Adam Gase?
Oh, yeah. I put one out today. I said, caption this. And I've gotten some really good responses because it is the weirdest, funniest looking facial expressions I've seen in a long time.
Just downright creepy. You know, his former player. A couple of former players, they got on Twitter and were taking some shots at him. I saw there was a Jets fan who said, "I'm really looking forward to working with Sam Darnold and murdering his family."
Yeah.
I saw that in the New York Post and a whole thing on the best memes. But anyway, yeah, he looks like Spiro, the compliance guy at Axe Capital, if you watch Billions. If you're a fan of Billions, remember the guy you got his Porsche smashed into by Dollar Bill? That's what he reminds me
too.
Of. Yes.
Yeah, he's got a long face. Good call, Mike. Here is Adam Gase. Goat eyes. Talking about his coaching staff, the number one priority.
Putting a coaching staff together. You know, we can't skip steps and start evaluating the roster before we even have coaches here. And that's really going to be our number one priority is getting coordinators and then working our way down after that. And once we get that accomplished, then we'll be able to do our evaluations. We got a long ways to go. The coaching staff's the number one priority, though, right now.
Yeah, we used to have a friend in high school. God bless him. He had a lazy eye.
Okay.
He got hit as a kid, and he had his right eye, and he'd be looking right at you, but it didn't look like he was looking at you. So you would always say, "You looking at me?" And we used to make fun, and it reminds me because Gase's eyes were just all over the place. But my boy, he would always like look away, but he'd be looking at you because the eye wouldn't allow him to look directly at you. And you go, "You looking at us?" He would say, "No, man, I'm not looking at you guys." And you could never tell. I don't know what the hell he was looking at yesterday. I don't know. And by the way, the Jets are finalizing a deal, Mike. You ready for this? To hire Greg Williams as their DC.
I mean, boy, how are these guys going to coexist? The general manager is running the show on this one. But Greg Williams did a heck of a job with Cleveland. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. I don't think he's a guy that can handle a head coaching gig anyway, despite his claims that he had over 13 offers over the last few years. Remember that when he was interviewed for when he took over as the interim head coach for the Browns? You saw it on Hard Knocks. It's just a really acerbic personality. But, hey, sometimes you got to have dudes like that to get the job done.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about the Browns. Freddie Kitchens, he's the guy now calling the shots. And he's been talking a lot here over the last few days. You know what he said? "I'm here because this is my life."
Truthfully, I was a Browns fan when I was growing up. Now, keep in mind, I grew up in Gadsden, Alabama. It was Alabama football, all right? But on Sundays, you had to do something other than go to church and eat a lot. I like their uniforms. I love the helmet. I like the simplicity of the helmet. Hopefully, we don't ever change that. But
okay, Freddie Kitchens, and he's right, Alabama guy. Here's what else he said, Mike, about decisions that he's going to make. Hopefully, every decision is about W's.
In every decision we make as an organization, and John would agree with this, I'm sure he would, that every decision will be based on one thing and one thing only, and that's winning football games.
It's pretty likable dude. I mean, you hope it works out for him. We were talking about how who got the job out there in Denver as the head coach, a longtime defensive coordinator.
Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio gets it. And this guy, same thing. These guys, they got to borrow a necktie, right? They got to borrow a dress shirt. I think Peter King had a line saying, probably the next time you'll see this guy in a suit is when they bury him, you know, because he's just a guy that's comfortable wearing a pullover and sweats. He's just a dude. Hey, but he really, look, he schooled our butts, came with some defensive, we had some no answers on defense for what he was throwing at us in that game when the Browns got up on us and we couldn't get back in the game.
Yeah, listen, I like Freddie Kitchens. I think he comes off as a personable guy. We really like, you know, their quarterback. We thought he should have been the first guy taken. I said this. This is a good job. I'm curious to see what Kitchens does with this talent that the Browns have. All right, last but not least, guys, we've been talking a lot about Antonio Brown this offseason. Mike, rumors are that he wants to go to the 49ers, which means he'd be playing with Kyle Shanahan or for Kyle Shanahan.
Mm.
He spoke with the legendary Jerry Rice about this, and Jerry Rice had this to say.
If he comes here to San Francisco, he's going to do everything possible to help this team to win. If you can put a receiver on the opposite side like Antonio Brown, man, it can really take this ball game to a whole different level. And it also sends a message to the fans that, hey, look, we're not looking down the road to win. We're looking to win right now.
They need a big-time receiver. I mean, I know because I was saddled with many of their receivers, and I had injuries this year on my fantasy team. They got a great tight end in Kittles. They got good running backs. They got to stay healthy, of course. And Garoppolo's got to come back. Not Janine Garoppolo, but Jimmy Garoppolo's got to come back. And you need this perfect fit. But do the 49ers have they have some stock to trade? It's got to be a first-rounder for Brown, right?
I would guess. I mean, at this point.
Or do you try to, you know, I mean, the Steelers are going to want something now. So, I mean, everyone says, well, a second-rounder next year. Well, you're going to have to give a lot now to get him.
I agree. And maybe the 49ers are like, you know what, that's fine. We're willing to do that. I just don't know how far they think they are away from winning. Remember, they had that first pick last year. The quarterback gets hurt. We'll see where it goes.
He'll be the most dynamic receiver they've had since Terrell Owens.
No doubt. Jerry Rice says he had spoken with Antonio Brown. Hey, Matt Nagy. Everybody's still going in on Cody Parkey, the kicker from the Bears who missed that kick, who could have won the game.
That was deflected.
Yeah, Parkey went on the Today Show. Matt Nagy, well, listen to him.
Well, you know, I found out, I don't even know the exact time that it was, but, you know, for me, and you understand that we always talk about, you know, a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
Oh, so he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He thought Cody Parkey shouldn't have gone on the Today Show.
Okay. Well, I mean, you miss kicks and you do something the coach doesn't like, you'll be kicking in Saskatchewan by this time next year.
We thing, not a me thing.
He struggled at times, so, you know, in the regular season, they're just awful people, Carl, kickers, other than Matt Bryant.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now playing our National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Couple!
Hey, man! Couple. C-O-U-P-L-E. You text that to 72881. That's the word for the 3 o'clock hour. Starts in the morning with frickin' you. We take it all the way to 7, but the hour for the 3 o'clock, the word for the 3 o'clock hour, couple, text that to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. And don't be texting and driving neither.
Brian Billick will join us. Coach Billick, now with the NFL Network and analyst. He joins Dukes and Bell next.
It is Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game. Coming up in part of the Dog Report, what did Jason Hazelwood say? What did Jaden say that's got people fired up, man? I know a lot of people fired up in this room. I mean, in this building about this, and a dog fan. So we'll get into that, man. Hey, man, we got plenty to dive into with Mike Conte as well, in case you missed it. But we got plenty more NFL as well. I just cannot accept, Carl, that the Saints are going to be here in Mercedes-Benz. And that is perhaps why I am now embracing wholeheartedly the Rams. I've even ordered a Rams hat.
I'm with you. It's our worst nightmare here being in Atlanta to potentially have both teams, the Patriots and the Saints here, but obviously the Saints are worse. With that, we welcome in our guest. We get a chance to talk to Brian Billick on a regular on this show. He's NFL Network analyst now, obviously Super Bowl champion winning coach. And I want to start with Big Red because, Brian, we talked to you a few weeks ago, and you said, listen, you know, I take Big Red's career over my career because people think, you know, winning the Super Bowl, he's had longevity, he's made a lot of money, you know, he's done all these great things, and here he is now hosting an AFC championship game. Have you had a chance to talk to Andy Reid? And if you have, what did you say to him? But more importantly, I think the Chiefs are ready for this moment.
Yeah, I think they are too. I haven't talked to Andy, but I'm excited for him. Obviously, it's an outstanding team, young quarterback operating at a level that I don't think anybody could have imagined that he was going to have this kind of productivity. Fascinating matchup when you've got the old venerable Tom Brady coming into Kansas City against the young gun in Patrick Mahomes, not unlike what Drew Brees obviously going to get up against Jared Goff. So it's going to be a challenge for the Patriots. The weather's going to be a factor. The idea that they'll, which may suit them, you know, Brady wants to play small ball, high completion percentage. They ran the ball very well against the Chargers. Mahomes, big play, you know, mentality. It'll be interesting to see if the weather inhibits that at all, but it's a fascinating matchup. And I think Andy Reid's best opportunity to take a Super Bowl caliber team into Atlanta.
Hey, Brian, do you think that Damian Williams can do the same kind of thing he did this week against the Colts? Because, you know, as a running back, losing Kareem Hunt, you thought that'd be a real shock to their system, but the dude was money last week.
Yeah, I think all the teams that ran the ball so well, I think that was the most distinguishing factor of the teams that won. And according to chalk, I mean, you get excited about wild card weekend and, you know, teams like the Ravens and Chargers and Dallas is playing well, and boy, could they make a run. But here we are with the number one and two seeds, and likely in the favored teams are the number one seeds. But all of the teams, whether it's the Chiefs and, as you said, Damian Williams running for 129 yards, both C.J. Anderson and Gurley going for better than 100 yards, Sony Michel with the Patriots going for 129, and the Saints collectively running for 138. So in the age of wide-open football and great quarterback play, it's the running game of last weekend that I thought was the most notable.
It is Brian Billick. Guys, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. We've talked about it a lot here on the program. And make sure you use the promo code Billick for $20 off your first purchase for seats at any event, guys, whether it's concerts, sporting events, it doesn't matter. Coach, as you look at, you know, the Patriots, and Mike and I have been talking a lot about this, and how Josh McDaniels continues to reinvent this offense and reinvent the Patriots, this is the brilliance of McDaniels, isn't it? Because it seems like every time you think you know what they're going to do, they do something completely different.
Well, I'd say on the defensive side as well, there's no team in the league that morphs itself situationally from one week to the next. You're exactly right. We've seen the Patriots on a given week decide they're going to run the ball 40 times, come hell or high water, and then the next week decide they're not going to run the ball at all because they feel like throwing the ball is the way to get it done. So the challenge for them, obviously, going against a high-flying offense like the Chiefs, is when the Chiefs have struggled is when you maintain possession of the ball. And that's exactly what the Patriots are going to have to do. Now, whether that means small ball, extended handoff, short passing game, Edelman, Gronk underneath, or whether it's a combination of that and obviously getting Sony Michel cranked up the way they did last week against the Chargers and continue to pound away. The Chargers deploy a smaller, more athletic defense, as does Kansas City. So I imagine that the Patriots, part of their game plan is going to be to think that they can run the ball on that smaller Kansas City defense.
It's only been one time in the last six games, as Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, only one of the last six where Jared Goff has gone over 300 yards passing. Is what's going on there? Or is it some of the effects of Todd Gurley not being as effective late in the season? What's going on with the quarterback there?
Well, the game last week's a perfect example. It's all he needed to do. They were running the ball so effectively that Todd Gurley or Jared Goff, you obviously could see, was okay. Look, I'm going to take our shots, but I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to be too aggressive here. I certainly don't want to get a turnover or put it on a short field because we're kind of in control of this game in the way we're running the ball. Their defense, I think Cowboys were 1 of 10 on third down, so their defense was doing the job. So I think it's less of a matter of Todd Gurley Jared Goff not playing as well or taking the shots as it was. Look, he did what he needed to do as the quarterback, playing within the flow of the game. Now obviously it's going to be a different game against the Saints. It's have to be a high-scoring affair. He's going to have to crank it up, just like, you know, we talked about. They're going to have to run the ball better. The previous game, those were the three areas. Clearly, I'm talking about the previous game between New Orleans and the Rams in a 45-35 win by New Orleans. The three areas were red zone, where New Orleans was 5 for 5. The Rams were 3 for 5. On third down, New Orleans was 7 of 12. The Rams were 3 of 8. And in rushing, the Saints ran for better than 140 yards. The Rams were under 100. So those three areas are going to have to change. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns in New Orleans against the Saints. You're going to have to convert better on third down to keep the drives alive. And certainly part of that is going to be running the ball better than they did.
Brian, more playoff conversation questions for you, but I want to bring it home here to Atlanta and ask you about our new offensive coordinator, which is our old offensive coordinator, in Dirk Cutter. And the hire of Cutter, Mike Mularkey as our tight ends coach, the offensive brain power that I think Dan Quinn went out and acquired versus what we currently had or recently had with Steve Sarkisian. And it's not a knock on Sark. He just had never called plays in the NFL. And, you know, after two seasons, he's moving on. But what do you think about what Dan Quinn did here with the offensive hires?
Yeah, brilliant. You got two coordinator-level coaches that are going to work in combination, certainly with the lead of Dirk Cutter, who've got familiarity with Matt Ryan. I mean, I can't imagine you having a better scenario than that and getting them back to the things that when they were dominant and making their way into Super Bowls.
You know, we just want to get the points, man. We just got to score some points and run the ball. How tough is it going to be for us to find two guards and a tackle with limited cap space and the draft being a real crapshoot with O-line in the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a challenge, you know, obviously. But you can see, they use the analogy, look at what happened in Indianapolis. They spent the last couple of years expending those resources, primarily out of the draft, some free agency, and building that offensive line. And look what that did for Andrew Luck in terms of the pressure that he was not under, the way he was able to perform. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe you can't do it all in 1 year, but you clearly got to get started.
It is Brian Billick, guys, joining us, NFL Network analyst. We got the championship games this weekend. Brian, you're a Super Bowl team. You stopped the run, and you ran the football. And, you know, we say the NFL's changing. It's a passing league. You watch these games this weekend, and that's what these games were really about. And I'm just taking you back to your teams, and I know that's always kind of been a philosophy. If you're picking one team this weekend, what team does that best? What is the best run and stop the run football team?
Well, you look at the Rams and the Saints. They're the highest rated offense, defense combined, obviously, and so they're capable of doing both. The Saints have proved very good at stopping the run. They're going to be challenged because these are two teams that can really run the ball very, very well. Of the two in the AFC, you know, again, Kansas City has had its troubles with that. So you've got to believe that the Patriots believe they can go in and run. But at the end of the day, obviously the importance of defense running the ball, but the difference being also compared to when we, you know, when we won our championship, taking nothing away from it, right, we were kind of in a void with our championship the next year with the Patriots and the year after that with Tampa, or maybe it was Tampa and New England. But those 3 years where you had really dominant defenses winning, you know, paving the way to the Super Bowl, we were kind of a void of the great quarterback play. We were transitioning from the Marinos and the Montanas and the Youngs and the Aikmans and that like, and we had not yet fully come into the Peyton Mannings and then Drew Breeses and Brady's and the like of it in terms of where they were playing. That's not the case now. As good as these, some of these defenses are in the run of the ball, you've got, you know, you're talking about two Hall of Famers for sure, right, in Brady and Breeze in terms of great quarterback. And then these two young quarterbacks that look like they're going to be pretty darn good and certainly have that kind of potential. So you've got really first-rate quarterback play to go with those defenses in the running game.
Injuries are always a part of the postseason, how you can manage it. As Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, if we're talking about run stopping, Sheldon Rankins was part of that big draft class that really got New Orleans back on the defensive side. Things are cooking. He's out. So they go and pick up somebody as a free agent. I mean, how big will that be, and how can the Rams exploit that?
Yeah, that is huge because obviously you work from the inside out, and that's going to be the strength of your defense, particularly against the run. So to not have Sheldon Rankins should make a difference. Now, again, the defense is playing very, very well. The thing I saw against the Rams when I went back and looked at the New Orleans film versus what happened last week with Dallas, New Orleans or Dallas seemed to be hesitant because of the Rams. Of course, it's up-tempo, no huddle. They run, you know, kind of fake the jet sweep or the ghost sweep on every play to get, you know, Dallas looked a little frozen, like they weren't unsure and who was to do what and who had inside, who had outside, and got gashed. New Orleans, when they played them, you could see everybody did their job. If you were supposed to stop the inside, you took care of the inside, and the outside, somebody else's problem. Or if I'm supposed to account for the jet sweep, I'm not going to worry about it on the inside. Everybody's got to do their job against this multiple running attack of the Rams, and they looked like they did a good job of it, and I'm sure they'll want to pick up with that. But not having Rankins in the middle will make a difference.
Coach, last thing. We've seen a lot of teams go with young head coaches, some with no NFL experience. Take us behind the curtain in how you select a staff when you really have no NFL experience. A lot of times when you've been in the league, guys know your work. They know who you are. How does a Cliff Kingsbury come in with no NFL head coaching experience and go get a reliable staff? How does that work?
Well, I think you heard in his interview, he's going to rely on Steve Keim to put the staff together to a large degree. I mean, a lot of these young coaches, I mean, that's, and this is neither good nor bad. I don't say this as a negative. It's become a general manager's league. And it's and they're all looking for the next Sean McVay and Matt Nagy, bringing that quarterback whisperer. You know, it's almost like, look, don't worry about the cap. Don't worry about personnel. You don't worry about anything. We're going to lock in your office, shove your meals under the door, and you come out with these great offensive game plans. And that's what they're looking for right now. Good, not good or bad. It just is. Right. And you see in a lot of instances where it's the general manager that's a major has a major impact in terms of putting staffs together. And as a coach, I you know that's something that I'm not comfortable with. But that's where we are right now. And in the case of Cliff Kingsbury, absolutely having no experience in the NFL per se, particularly from the coaching standpoint, he's going to rely very heavily on the general manager to put that together.
Yeah, man, it's a young whippersnapper league now, man. It's a different world in the NFL. Has it always been copycat like this, though?
Well, yeah, whatever's worked. I mean, and what will happen is, as typical with any coaching cycle, where it's, you know, for a while we go through coaches that have been head coaches before, and then we go through the coordinator route, then we go through maybe the college route a little bit. And you know, the normal success ratio in the NFL for coaching hires is usually about 1 in 4, 1 in 5. So when you in this cycle and some of these young coaches, some will do well, some won't. And so you'll see that pendulum kind of swing back the other way.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Coach, for jumping on with us. Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst, guys. You coming to Super Bowl, right? We'll see you here.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
All right. We'll see you right here in the ATL. It's Brian Billick, guys. Hey, we've got In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte on the way. And as Mike told you, one former Georgia recruit has some things to say about the staff. You'll hear it coming up at 4.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, we got the dog report on the way at 4 o'clock. Right now, though, let's visit with our man Mike Conte, In Case You Missed It.
Yeah, we were watching that Adam Gase introductory press conference yesterday up at Atlanta United. And, man, that was bizarre. But the memes that have come out of it. On social media, my favorite's the one with the taco.
So where he's like, watching
right. Yeah, so like Gaines sits down and kind of has a normal look about him. And as soon as he sits down, it's like someone tweeted, like the pre-workout started to kick in. And his eyes became the size of like grapefruits. The New York Post back page today, their headline was Vision Quest.
nice.
I don't know what happened. The answers apparently were somewhat nonsensical at times, but if you have a moment, look for the Adam Gase taco meme,
Mike. Because that's funnier than hell. We talked about the one guy that said, "I'm looking forward to working with Sam Darnold and murdering your family." You know what I mean? Because he's like some guys actually did. Mike say they actually had on some website. It might have been awful announcing that they were saying that somebody claiming to purporting to be a doctor. It's sort of like a nervous tick. You know, the eye stretch. I mean, it was not the way. We've seen some bizarre press conferences. The Les Miles thing making no sense. The Adam Gase introductory press conference here.
The Les Miles one was sad and possibly attributable to the fact that he's like 71 years old and he can lose his place. That's one thing. Adam Gase, I don't know, he was just freaked out. I mean, he had the body language of that guy at that party that just no one wants to be around because he's a little too intense.
Yeah.
And he really wants to tell you about pickles. You know, I have this great dill pickle today, but it doesn't quite compare to a kosher pickle. Like, it's just one of those, the body language.
We had that
very,
guy.
Very
we had that guy at your Christmas party.
And we had a few of them, yes. we had more than a few of them, actually. Meanwhile, I guess, you know, Cody Parkey, the Bears kicker, he went on the Today Show yesterday, or it might have been Friday, actually.
Did you get a chance to see it? I did not.
No. Okay. All I know is that they had him on, and they were lauding him as the most honorable player for going on and doing media after, you know, he did not make the game-winning field goal against Philadelphia in that playoff game. He had a lousy year. I mean, the miss in the playoffs is the icing off the cake. You know who's not happy about Cody Parkey going on the Today Show?
One of his teammates?
His coach, Matt Nagy, head coach of the Chicago Bears. Hmm. He does a press conference yesterday. Someone says, hey, did you see Parkey on the Today Show? And he said, you know, we're all about doing we things, not me things. We always talk as a team. We win as a team and lose as a team. I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing. This is why you don't give kickers guaranteed contracts.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yeah.
They did.
He's got like two more years. So Matt Nagy, not pleased with the Cody Parkey media tour.
Would you be upset about this, though? I mean, the guy misses the kick. It is Chicago, and fans are going crazy. The guy's trying to defend. I mean, I don't know if it's honorable. You missed a kick, but he's trying to, you know, at least put himself out there in a good light. Are you really going to be upset about that?
Kickers will speak when spoken to. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. He's missed 7 field goals this year, and he missed 3 extra points. Hey, Vinatieri, they're saying Vinatieri's career is over in Indy. You know, that's the ignominious end of Vinatieri's career.
Vinatieri's also, I think, like 56? 48 years old. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. No, he is. I think that takes Mike and I back to the first Super Bowl we went to. It was the Patriots and down there when
he was the hero.
He kicked the first one.
He was the hero. You guys Costco members?
I am.
Like members of club stores? Do you ever buy food in, like, enormous quantities there?
I don't want to. As I've explained, this is a love-hate relationship with Costco.
I love Costco.
I do, too, but I hate the fact that I go in and spend way more than I wanted to.
Yeah, but you're good for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, depending on if, you know.
I'll go in there and I'll drop $300 on Coke Zero, but I'm good for 6 months.
It's true.
Like, it's
no, okay. You need paper towels? Take these! Yes.
Well, Costco now has begun selling macaroni and cheese, which, you know, we all like mac and cheese.
Yeah. Right on.
In 27-pound buckets. You know those buckets you get at the Home Depot? Those orange buckets, the do-something buckets?
Yeah, I've got one, actually. Yeah. Well,
Costco is now selling buckets of those size with macaroni and cheese.
I'm a big mac and cheese guy.
Yes.
It's Dukes and Bellets, in case you missed it with Mike Conti. I don't know if you like anything special on your mac and cheese. We've talked about this. You can add stuff to mac and cheese.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
You know, to make it.
Absolutely. Brisket, breadcrumbs.
It's great.
Bacon, 100%. Tabasco, whatever you want to spice it up with, you got
There's really no wrong answer.
No, there isn't for mac and cheese, but that's a lot.
Well, they're selling it in their hoarders section,
right.
the emergency food section. So when you open up the 27-pound bucket of mac and cheese, you'll actually find 180 individually wrapped servings of mac and
cheese. That makes sense, because otherwise the only time you'd ever buy that is if you're going to take it to a giant, like, you know,
party.
Church picnic or something where
right.
you need to serve all those folks. That makes perfect sense. We didn't get that when Squid had this in Yeah Man, No Man, individual servings.
You've already done this story?
No, but
not
you,
today.
But
no,
you've brought new light.
No.
You've brought new light to the story. We didn't know there was hundreds of individual servings of mac and cheese in the bucket.
We all need to do a better job of talking among ourselves about material that's done on the show, because I look like a total idiot.
No, not at all. This was last week, Conti. Not a big deal. It was last week.
Well, apparently they're all, and Bo has probably told you this too, that they're also serving 7-pound jars of Nutella.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
No, he did not.
And those are not individual servings. Like, when you get the 7-pound jar of Nutella, it's go.
But you like Nutella, though, right? You dig that on bread?
Yeah, I do.
I didn't.
But you
I
lived in Germany. That's where you first got hip to it.
I didn't like
right?
it at first, but I've become hip to Nutella. Now, my daughter loves it. Like, she could, like, eat Nutella for every day.
You either love it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Longshore and I get into this debate all the time. He hates Nutella.
There's a Nutella store in Chicago.
That, okay.
Really? Not a pop-up, like a brick and mortar. You go in and it's Nutella everything. And it blew me away because I had no idea that even existed.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So, anyhow, to provide further context to a story that apparently has already been done, if you go buy the 22-pound bucket of mac and cheese at Costco, it's not all going to spoil as soon as you unseal it.
Right. Now, that's new. That's new information.
It is.
Save it for the next blizzard in Atlanta, which will inevitably occur at some point, maybe during Super Bowl, if forecasts are to be believed. You see that, by the way?
What is it going
to
be?
Supposed to get snow during Super Bowl.
Oh, stop it.
There you go.
We will never have a Super Bowl in this town again if that happens.
Bo, go ahead and tell him I need the room.
Jeez. No, Mike, we were talking about this off the air because I was here in 99, And, of course, you guys remember we had the ice storm. It was also, Carl, the last time they didn't have the 2 weeks. They had 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, Mike, from the championship week.
Right.
And
yeah.
that year was one they went back to a 1 week. So everything got sped up. Everything was jammed up. Teams had to fly down to Atlanta, and it was a blank show, needless to say. And that's why it's been a while. Indianapolis, meanwhile, which could have a foot of snow at any given day during February or March.
Beautiful weather.
They lucked out a couple of years ago when they had the Patriots Giants, and they're still talking about putting another one up there.
But Indianapolis can also handle it.
They can.
They can handle it.
Yeah.
As soon as we get our first snowstorm of the year, I'm going to go back on my rant about how we have snow events in this city every year that shut down the city, at least one a year. We had two last year.
We did.
Are they really saying snow?
Do we ever invest in the infrastructure to deal with it?
No.
Oh, because it doesn't happen. It happens every year.
Yeah, I want to say ever since I've been in Atlanta, it's happened over the last
Well, melt down the trolley and let's go make some plows.
For real. By the way, it's still 2 weeks away.
A lot can change. All right, man. Let's keep our fingers crossed for lots of things, like the Saints not being here in snow. Mike Conte's coming back in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, guys, he is a highly touted recruit who has made his decision, but now he's taking shots at the Dogs. We'll let you hear what he had to say next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.